Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the life and death of Colonel, probably the hero to most men, that of John Holmes.
Well, it depends on who you talk to, Timmy. I believe the man was a little overrated.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I don't believe that there was any 14-inch penises involved, yeah.
Well, I don't know. It is said that he had one close to 14 inches, Colonel. So, you know, he is famous for his series, that great,
he was a wonderful detective.
Of anything put on celluloid, and that is Johnny Wadd series.
Johnny Wadd, the famous detective, Timmy.
Of course, John Holmes, a porn star who had a very interesting life, and we're going to talk about it. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. Sometimes we're a little risque, Colonel. We're a little risque.
Now and again, we can't keep the devil between the lines.
Speaking of which, I am happy to introduce a lady who needs no introduction. She is the apple of everyone's eye. She's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy?
She a wormy crab apple to me, a wormy crab apple.
What the fuck's wrong with you today? I haven't even climbed in your shit. The fuck? You called me, why'd you call me earlier, dummy? Why are you calling names like some kind of schoolyard bully, you bitch?
I'm just, we do this every week, but, you know, maybe, I guess me, Timmy, and Thad have more familiarity with this platform
right
since you haven't seen it in 6 months, but go ahead. I'm sorry if I said something that you take as an affront. I apologize. I would like to start on good grounds here, Devil.
It's the season of the witch.
Yeah.
Season of something. Oh, yeah. Glad tidings, Colonel.
Glad tidings. I'm not so much of a bitch that I'm like, oh, I didn't get to sleep and I have a headache and I can't do it today. Who does that? Oh, that's you.
That's me.
I'm the Lou Gehrig of podcasting.
I'm here every goddamn week.
Bullshit. You're the Lou Gehrig of... Get the fuck out of here.
Right, I am.
You're one of those fuckers. It's like, oh, I think I cracked my nail. I can't play for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I tell you what. Just nary 2 days ago.
I mean, you are such a fucking attention whore. Stage,
I had a wisdom tooth extracted from my head.
I don't give a shit. It shows. And it shows. Listen, you sucked up.
And I didn't even get put out. I didn't even take Novocaine.
You are a goddamn narcissist. You've lost your mind. Because now, I mean, it's all about you all the time. He introduces me, and what's the first thing that happens? You fucking open your flapper.
Well, goddammit, do something interesting.
In all fairness, Brandy,
who would know?
Most of our listeners only care about Chuck anyway. I mean, no, you know, if we had like one of those Nielsen things,
I would win.
It would spike when it's kernel time, and it kind of the line would kind of recede in Brandy time.
Life is just a play, and you are merely props.
You're the star.
I mean, who would know if there was anything going on with me?
Well, tell us, goddamn it. You act like you're the goddamn CIA. You don't ever talk to anybody.
No, no, what she does. You know what she does?
Yeah, and I social mother.
Hi, Brandy. I'm worried about you. How are you? She sends you a thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hey. An emoji, and that's it.
What do you want from me? I'm at work.
You know, you could have, at least respond with, four or five characters.
Yeah, well, you at work trapped in a freezer for four or 5 days at a time. You held hostage at work? What the hell?
Pretty much. And also, I have like a 19-year-old telling me when I can go on break. So, I mean, it's all fucking amazing.
Well, you know.
I have friends in Gaza that I talk to more than you.
Which was an ugly, ugly joke. So we're going to go ahead and take that out. I'm not stepping into that name, Frey. What?
What's the 19-year-old manager's name?
Taylor.
Okay.
Of course it is.
It's a she.
And she's very sweet.
Okay.
But still, I'm like, okay, let me take my break. So, whatever. So I guess that's all the Brandy time that Chuck can participate in. So you might as well introduce him.
Well, no,
I want to participate more in your Brandy.
How are you as we run into the Christmas season here, Brandy? How are things with you? Because our listeners care. Chuck and I don't really care. But our listeners
we don't.
Thad cares.
Thad cares.
We just moved.
That sounds like a healthcare bill, doesn't it?
Thad care. Yeah, maybe.
You know, Devil, I like to think here, Devil.
Do you? Because it doesn't show.
We have all seen the wonderful Christmas tale, A Christmas Carol. I like to think I am your Marley, Devil. I'm your Marley personified. I keep trying to tell you, look what you're doing in your life, Devil. Look what you're doing in your life. Change your ways, Devil. Change your ways. But you don't listen. You just keep doing the same thing.
Oh, okay. You feel better?
I just like to point out, Brandy, every week we do this. First thing you say is, Timmy doesn't have his camera on. Timmy doesn't have his camera on. Now, Colonel, look at this software we're looking at right now. How many faces do you see there, Colonel?
I see, and you know what I see, Timmy? I see a beautiful Christmas background. I mean, you've got us all in the spirit.
Yeah, the love of the hand did that.
You're perfectly centered. We see more than your Bengals hat. I mean,
we're not looking at the ceiling fan.
What?
I missed the ceiling fan. Right.
Christ.
Colonel, how many people do you see?
Three. I see three.
That would be who are they exactly, Colonel?
That would be Thad, yourself, Timmy, and myself. We're missing one who can't seem to click the right button when she logs on. It's a
multiple
choice thing. Do you have a camera? Yes or no? I mean, it's an active decision to not be on camera. You got to say,
Brandy, if you look at the bottom of your screen, you'll see mute and you'll see stop. I see stop cam, but you would have.
I see stop cam too. Fuckers.
Are you so, still on? Maybe she's just on still a dial up and it's just not got enough bandwidth.
Are you signed on to AOL, Randy? You got mail. Right, how many free minutes do you still have left on the disc?
Yeah, do we need to rush this?
All right. Do you have anything to say, Randy?
Are we done now? I just want to make sure.
Well, do you want to give us any update?
No, not real. I'm ill prepared to make any updates at this time.
Okay. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah, we're getting there. I mean, I've almost got all my shopping done. I need to get a couple more things. And
what did you give our Christmas tree
to Jacob this year? Well, I can't tell you because he's in the other room.
Oh.
But
I hope you're not. You don't let him listen to this podcast. Surely, God, you've got some parental discretion.
No,
you don't let him listen.
No, I don't let him listen to this.
Okay, good. Well, Brandy,
I'm sure he'd be so proud. I'm sure my Christmas will be fine.
What are his classmates at school listen to this?
I hope they don't. I think a couple of his teachers do.
Really?
Or his old teachers, yeah. But it's just, you know, it's there's a lot going on. And so we moved, and I don't know why we did.
Well, you fucking moved, and we don't even know it.
I can't help it.
No wonder you don't
piss Dave off.
Yeah, no wonder.
Didn't they do something to piss Dave off? Is that why you moved?
Well, yeah, they wouldn't give him a handicapped parking space.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying they pissed him off about something.
Yeah,
well, that sucks. What was their excuse?
That they had plenty. So it was. I don't know. The whole thing was fucked up. They were wrong, but
yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a.
Yeah, no, we
say you got plenty of parking spaces.
So we moved, and it's a nicer apartment, and I like it a little bit better where it is, and we're gonna just kind of hang out here and see what's next. At least wait till Noah gets through school before we take off and go.
Yeah.
All over. But no, that's about the size of it. So like I said, we're lucky I even found this goddamn computer that I'm on. So don't piss and moan about the camera, because all you're missing is that I have a huge zit on my chin that just came out of nowhere.
Oh, now we know why she's not on camera.
I've been mighty patching for 3 days.
Colonel, yeah. You know what I think it is, Colonel.
What's that?
We're talking about Big John Holmes today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be gross. Don't be obscene.
She's going to be doing one of those. Who was that? Who was that dude right on the call? Who? Not Jeffrey Epstein. Who was the guy?
Oh, Jesus.
Jeff Toobin.
Toobin. She's going to be Toobin.
Can you keep it together, Brandy, if we talk about John Holmes?
Yeah, I think I'll manage.
We are also joined by a man who needs no introduction, a man who is a best-selling author.
Introduced himself. No,
he's a best-selling author, Brandy.
It's a plagiarizer.
He's a man who we turn to in these, you know, there's war in the Middle East, there's war in Central Europe. We turn to this man in these troubled times, probably going to be, you know, a disaster here next year with the election.
No.
We turn to this man in troubled times. Mm-mm. He is the oasis in the desert of despair. The one and only, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, I'm here even though I have a gaping wound in the back of my jawbone.
He's got a gaping wound in his mouth, and yet he's still flapping his lips.
Doesn't stop me. And
no, it does not.
As I said before, I am the Lou Gehrig of podcasting. Timmy, I show up. I'm here every week.
Even when you have to limp to the microphone.
Well, you know what? Speaking of handicap. I wish somebody give me a handicap sticker so they could wheel me in here sometimes, but I'm here behind the microphone. And
he's got a point, Brandy.
I don't care.
other than that, I'm good.
Never mind the fact that it's all bullshit. You and I both know that it's bullshit. How many times have we waited on him and not gotten a response or not gotten a text because he's sleeping? Because I didn't sleep last night. Sunday? Because I'm so tired. Oh, yeah. Are we doing this this week?
Are we recording this week? Christ. Will somebody send me a goddamn script once in a while?
I know. I
don't have a script. We're fucking stressing, reading people's minds.
Ill-prepared motherfucker.
We are also joined by our producer, Matt Thad. How are you today, Thad?
I am, I gotta say, I really enjoyed doing some show prep for this particular episode. It's not often.
Didn't do it on your work computer, Thad.
I did not do it on my work computer. That doesn't keep other people that I work with from doing that, which, you know, is a real no-no.
You got a job.
That's why I have a job. Exactly. No, I had up until I think yesterday had never seen a John Holmes film, so really? It was educational.
Which one did you watch?
Oh my god!
Did you watch?
You've
my
never
friend,
seen
Your Enemy, Enema. My friend, you watch that?
Have never up until like I said up until yesterday never seen a John Holmes film.
Are you impressed?
I gotta say he's not that attractive.
No, he's not. Neither is Ron Jeremy. Let's keep that in mind.
Ron Jeremy is not attractive.
Yeah, let's keep that in mind. And I feel like attractiveness is comes secondary in that industry.
Well, sure. But if you think about porn stars, like we'll talk about male porn stars today, right? Like, you know, they've got a six pack. I mean, no one has hair anymore anywhere, right? But I mean, they look like they, you know, they take care of themselves. John Holmes,
you, Colonel.
Yep.
John Holmes just kind of looks like he looks almost homeless. Well, looked homeless.
Well, he was homeless.
Mostly. It's an aesthetic. It's a look.
No, he was actually homeless. The son bitch was a crack addict, cocaine, homeless. Yeah. Got it. Could you imagine having that kind of penis and you did so much drugs you couldn't even get it up to me?
That's kind of like the gift of the Magi, isn't it?
It really is, Timmy.
Oh my God. Gift of the Magi.
What is it? What is it they say? It's 13 and a half inches. That takes a lot of blood to get that going.
It does. I'm surprised he didn't pass out now. And again.
You know, we're a small club, Colonel. We're a small club. And I know we were sorry to see him go because there's not that many of us left.
There's not, you know, to me, it's people think, I guess this is the great misconception, Timmy. People think it's easy walking around with sex caliber in your pants, you know? it's not. I mean, you got to buy. I can't go to Kohl's and just buy a regular pair of pants, Timmy. I got to get, you know how to make, you know, Levi's for this, Levi's. I got to go to the section. I got to order them special. Levi's.
You
got to
get
Kohl's,
mom
Timmy.
Jeans.
Yeah.
My doctor, Colonel, this may help you. My doctor recommended I do penis yoga.
Yeah. You know, you know those people who
in my head than it actually.
Also, well, here's the thing. Also, we're talking to Thad, so nobody gives a fuck about sex caliber or whatever. Because let Thad have his moment and shut the fuck up until we.
Well, he was telling us about watching John Holmes last night. Now Thad, was Melissa concerned when she came in the room and you were watching John Holmes?
So I know her first reaction was, I know you're into some weird stuff, but why are you watching 70s porn?
Oh, I'm and doing a podcast.
I said, search. Said, say no more. I don't care.
Oh, you know, that's when they had the 70s Bush, Colonel, back in John Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had to work for it, Timmy. You had to find it. You had to dig through there. And, you know, it wasn't like today. You know, you needed a GPS back then.
Yeah.
If they would have had, they needed the Apple AirTag back then just to find the opening. You know, I'd be on the thing.
For some, they still do. That.
Yeah. But, yeah,
It's kind of, that's kind of coming back into vogue a little bit, though.
Oh, like, God, I don't want to see that come back in vogue.
Yeah, that's very much a thing that is made. I mean, everything is in cycles, right? I mean, the mullet is back.
Oh, I know. So, it's terrible.
You know,
it's terrible.
If the mullet is in style again, then all of these things are going to come back up.
You know,
but no,
I get you, Colonel. There's disadvantage for being well endowed. But there's also advantages, like when you go to pee, you can use it to flush your commode.
You can, you know, the thing is, though, Timmy, that water's cold.
It is, and deep, too.
The water's deep, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you all for that bullshit.
I think we're going to get a lot started. Of dick jokes during this podcast, this episode.
Really?
Well, we'd have to start on the podcast that to happen.
Yes.
During the 1970s and 80s, John Holmes took Hollywood by storm as one of the most popular adult performers of that era. Until it all came crashing down, Colonel.
Came.
It always often does to me.
The life of a porn star, the life of porn star John Holmes played out like one of his movies.
I doubt it.
Full of twists and turns. Get that twist.
I don't remember the movie I watched having a lot of twists. Pretty
what
straight.
Was the title of it? Was it the one in the Johnny Wadd series?
That, no,
really
no.
Haven't seen John Holmes until you see him as Johnny Wadd. Right?
Oh, okay.
I like this business card, Timmy.
Huh?
Johnny Wadd.
Johnny Wadd.
I always crack the cooch.
Well, his.
I think the one that I saw had was he and Ginger Lynn. I think that's.
Oh yeah.
That's what I saw.
He wasn't in behind the green door.
Lovely young lady, Ginger Lynn.
He wasn't in behind the green door, was he?
No.
That was Marilyn Chambers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Hey, Snoop Dogg, why don't you chill out for a minute?
Oh, so, yeah, you get to hide behind the curtain, do whatever you want, and then cast judgment on me.
You're goddamn right I do.
So his life played out like one of his movies, full of twists and turns, plenty of sex and drugs, Colonel. What else would one expect from a man known as the King of Porn, who starred in over 1,000 hardcore films
and claimed
to have slept with 14,000 women?
Your That's a lot of women.
Okay, you know, hold on. I think my entire world may be crashing down as we're doing this podcast. I've always wondered why my parents spelled my name with two D's.
Yeah.
Thad, THADD.
Yeah.
I look at Johnny Wadd. His last name is WADD.
Yeah.
It's
probably
you were destined for porn. You missed your calling, Thad.
I think I may have been.
You could have been Thad the Thick. Thad.
Christ.
I need to
none of you have missed your opportunity. None of you have missed your opportunity. Everybody simmer down.
So I need to text my dad and ask if I was named after Johnny Wadd.
He was 13 and a half inches. Brandy, now how does that compare to your economics professor?
Jesus Christ. I don't fucking remember.
All you were worried about was that C plus.
Yeah. Just give me a C. Give me a C.
I mean, it was like 25 years ago. So, you know, I'm not.
He's probably
dead
now. He's probably
dead. Probably.
Does it seem weird to have slept with someone, Brandy, who's now in a grave?
No, because, I mean, that happens. Eventually, it's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah,
Brandy, let me ask you.
And that feels like a fucked up question. Ask me in a year. What?
Regret telling people. Where does that rank with you telling Tim and Charles about that?
Jesus Christ.
It's got to be towards the top.
It really.
I mean, let's be realistic. You knew she couldn't pass.
I won't get into
no, I mean, the devil's got a college degree. There's no way. You know, me and Timmy, Well, something was rotten in Denmark as soon as we heard that. We knew that there was extracurriculars going on.
Yeah.
So,
it's
from a legit college. So.
Yes, because of one professor at a community college. My entire college career is suspect.
It was a goddamn community college class, and you couldn't get a C without banging a professor? Fuck, I would have tutored you, devil.
I had an A.
You couldn't get a tutor?
Without it. Quit being a dick.
Well.
But no. I actually am good at economics.
Well, I'm just surprised that you settled for a C+. I mean.
Oh my God!
You know, why not go that extra mile and get a B?
Yeah, you know? Do something.
I don't know.
She just laid there, just like she did. She did what she did in class.
It's a missed opportunity.
Just laid there.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity for me. So now we're what 20? Then we've gotten through one paragraph of the fucking story.
You could have been summa cum laude.
Are like fucking squirrels on crack. Can we please focus up and not go all over the place?
Okay, so despite the ridiculous amount of films,
okay,
how many did you watch, Thad? He had over 1,000. How many did you watch? How many did you watch?
I watched 1.5.
Okay,
there you go.
So you got the kind of feel for him and his method acting and all that.
I really did,
and did you see the one with the pizza girls? Because that one is really. That was probably some of his better work, don't you think, Colonel?
I think he did really well as the plumber, Timmy.
The plumber.
As the plumber came in, the sink was clogged. He had a little plunger, fixed it. Oh, I thought I had money. I don't have any money. Oh, my, what shall I do? Much like, oh, I thought that paper that I was supposed to turn in Thursday. I don't know what happened to her. What shall I do?
Yes, I sound exactly like that.
Okay, well, yeah, it was probably a little. I didn't get my paper done, bitch. What am I supposed to do about this? All right, fine. Come back here.
That's your Marge shot voice. Yeah.
Wow.
So despite all these.
Now, as we do with the podcast, Devil. With the economics professor, was you like,
hurry up, get on with this. Let's go. I got places to be.
If I knew it was gonna take all day, I would have learned a little bit about supply and demand. Jesus Christ. Think of your sister or something and get that.
I'm gonna make people hate the two of you. I'm gonna make people hate the two of you.
See, you forget Brandy's got an army of supporters, right? We see it all the time. Team Brandy.
Shit.
I did. I had a civics class in high school. And it was taught by like one of the football coaches because you know they can't teach anything like a real subject.
Yeah.
And this girl, Jin Lee, she'd sit in the front row and shoot him like beavers through the whole class. And she ended up with a D.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, how do you do that? How do you? She's an attractive girl, you know. Like, how do you do that and still get a fucking D in the course? I hate this, you know. I mean, she probably would have felt without it, I guess. But anyway.
Well, I think you got to know the sexual orientation of the professor first, Timmy. Well, because if you know, you get a gay professor, it'd be pretty much like if me and you had a male professor and just sat in the front row with our dick out, he probably wouldn't be all that pleased. Well, plus, you know, you got people tripping and stumbling over it.
Yeah.
Causing a thing in class. So,
yeah, it's a bit dangerous. Yeah.
But come on, Devil, you're digressing here. Let's get us back.
But Colonel, like me and you, we could solve the problem on the chalkboard.
From our seat. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? My favorite
eraser out and erase
exactly. Just woo.
Like an elephant at the zoo.
Pretty much, yeah.
Kind of like getting peanuts, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to make people hate you guys so much. It's going to be great.
Despite the ridiculous amount of films that he starred in and the number of women he supposedly slept with, Holmes felt still felt the need to embellish his career. During conversations, he invented facts and figures about himself so often that the real facts were... I'm sorry, I'm thinking of someone here, Brandon. So often that the real facts were usually lost in a mix of wild tidbits. For example, Brandy. For example, he claimed to have held several degrees from UCLA. Maybe he had a female economics professor.
I think with that guy, you'd only have to do it once and you get your graduate degree.
And he also claimed to be the child actor in Leave It to Beaver. That sounds like a porn film.
Of course he did.
Leave It in Beaver. Yeah.
Good Lord.
John Holmes also said that he had a 13 and a half inch penis, which he named the Hammer.
Well, Thor, you know. Mine's been called Thor before.
No, it hasn't. Mm-hmm. By somebody besides you.
I remember
Thor, the pump action custard slinger devil.
You remember Amber? Amber.
Oh yeah.
She said one time that she was dating a guy. He called his the Alabama Hammer. And she says, the worst part was he's not from Alabama.
He was even lying about being from Alabama. Who would lie from being from Alabama? You know who lies from being from Alabama? People from Mississippi. That's the only people who would lie about
West Virginia,
that
maybe.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, due to its girth, he named it the Alabama Hammer. It also rendered him unable to wear regular underwear. Yeah. But also he claimed to have killed several people with it.
Well, you've seen the Monty Python movie with the Black Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
'Tis but a flesh wound.
Sometimes you don't have a sword, Timmy. All you have is, as I said, sex caliber.
Good Lord.
You play a lot of polo with that, Colonel?
No, I haven't played a lot of polo. Now, I'm in a little dispute right now with the Olympic Committee because...
They won't let you ride your donkey.
Well, no, the pole vault. I don't want to use the pole. I just want to get a good running start, you know.
Well, you were disqualified. He was also disqualified from volleyball.
Yeah, because they wouldn't let me use it to spike. And, Timmy, they wouldn't let me attach one of, you know, the gymnast with the little ribbons that flow. Yeah. And they wouldn't let me tie a ribbon around it. They said I had to use my hands.
I think you listen. Got it.
I thought that was autistic expression.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your weird leader stories are just ridiculous. Why would you tie a ribbon around your dick?
Haven't you seen the things where you...
Haven't you heard of women? You know, you heard the song, Tie a Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree.
Right. No, the gymnastics thing where the women hold the big yellow ribbon. Haven't you seen those?
And they have the what is the round things that they toss around?
Yeah, I came running out my unitard with a couple ribbons wrapped around. And they were like, "Ah!" The Russian judge gave me a 9.
It was alleged during the filming of a gay feature film that Holmes inadvertently killed two male performers. And was tried for manslaughter. Now, see, here's where I have trouble with this story, Colonel. You think you would stop if you killed one?
Right. With the second one,
they would have. You know, the director would have said cut. Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we got some poor bastard cut in half here. No, keep filming. Keep filming.
That's assault with a friendly weapon.
Oh, God.
So he apparently killed two people during this filming of this gay feature film. The judge in the case, this is what I like. The judge in the case sends Holmes to abstain from performing anal sex in any future films. I mean, that's That's fair, I think. That's fair enough.
I think it's fair enough, yeah.
This is likely an urban myth. So maybe he didn't really kill two people. But that was, you know, that's what he said. He claims to have killed two people with the hammer.
Mm-hmm. With Thor.
It was alleged during the filming of, oh, I said that already, didn't I? While Holmes' penis never actually killed anyone, his fame, his glory, his prowess, and eventually his downfall could all be attributed to one thing, his 13 and a half inch endowment, Colonel.
I just don't believe it was 13 inches, but...
You think it was smaller or bigger?
It was maybe 12 and 3/4, Timmy.
Okay.
That last quarter of an inch is critical.
Well, John Holmes was born John Curtis Holmes on August the 8th, 1944, in Asheville, Ohio. You ever been to Asheville, Colonel?
I've been there.
It's a small town, 11 miles south of Columbus.
It's mostly Amish people, Timmy.
Are they?
Mm. No. No.
You ever watch Amish porn? It's a thing.
It is a thing. Except they got to draw because they can't use cameras. I mean,
that's true. You got to get a Mennonite to run the camera.
Now, here's the thing, Colonel. Some people are into, like, enemas, porn, you know? I don't get that. I just don't get that.
No, I don't understand it either, Timmy. I don't understand. But I know that it's common practice in, you know, to prep. Now, you know, John Holmes was not allowed to do any dirty flower deeds, but I think that's common practice in these days too.
Well, you know, I
should flush that out. Yeah.
I would hope so.
They had fluffers back in the day, Colonel.
They did. Devil, I'd like to see your resume.
I was just going to leave that alone. Anyway.
Absolutely not.
He was born in Asheville, Ohio, 11 miles south of Columbus. He was the youngest of four children born to 26-year-old Mary Jane. This is important. Her maiden name was Barton, Colonel.
Barton?
Mary Jane Barton. Mary June Barton. But the name of his father was Carl Estes. He was a railroad worker, and his name was left off the birth certificate. So probably Mary June did not want to claim Carl as John Holmes' father, but...
That little bastard.
But he had... He was father of three of her children, older children, Dale, Edward, and Anne with an E. Now, she and Edward were married and divorced three times. At the time of their first marriage in 1936, Edgar was 35 years old and divorced, while Mary was 17. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Okay. I mean, that's what they did. I don't know. That's not even unusual.
Are you going to pass some sort of judgment on them? Because quick to judge people.
That's you are quick to judge.
I mean, just because he's a dirty, nasty 35-year-old, you know, divorcee going after a fucking 17-year-old. But, you know, they were balls were different back then. But it's still gross, and I am judging.
Timmy, did I ever tell you that mine actually got knighted?
No, didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't make people do this, you know, because I don't like to stand on ceremony or brat. You know, I don't like to, you know, put up a front all the time. But really, you people should be calling me Sir Conference.
Nope. I'm not even calling you Sir Mix-a-Lot. Fuck off.
Sir Conference.
John Holmes' mother was said to be a devout Southern Baptist, with her children regularly attending church, while his stepfather was an alcoholic. Brandy, I'm going to let who was often inebriated. I'm going to let you finish that sentence, Brandy.
I love this part too. He would come home often inebriated, stumble about, and then vomit on his children.
You know, people talk about trauma.
That would be some trauma.
That's some shit you're going to tell your therapist later on.
Yeah. Yeah, when your dad vomits on you, that's a problem.
The thing is, those people are generally too poor to ever tell their stories to therapists.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some great ones.
I would think the kids would be quicker and get out of the fucking way. Like, you just stand there waiting on him to vomit on you? Like, take
Well, I mean, you know, it's got to be really traumatizing because Papa comes home, you know, he's been into the old Milwaukee all night. And he comes, hey, little Bessie, come here, give your daddy a hug. And you just, you're a little kid, you know, you're happy to see your dad because he only comes around once every 3-4 days. You run to him, arms all wide, you know, you just run into the guy. And then he just projectile vomits on you like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. Right, so you're laying on the floor, you don't get the hug, you're covered with old Milwaukee and peanuts and whatever beef jerky that he had at the bar. It's just but tough on a kid, you know?
I know. Yes, Sardines. It is. whenever your dad throws up on you, it's a rough life. Although I will say, nowhere does it indicate, I mean, aside from throwing up on them, that he was like abusive.
No, I'm not saying abusive. Indicate, I'm just saying it's tough for a kid.
I know, run for the guy.
Arms wide open.
Well, I think they would know better. If you run towards a guy, he's going to puke on you.
Well, you know,
I'm sure that they don't do. I'm sure that they try and stay in their rooms. And I mean, he may find them, but my point is that, yeah, he spits up on them.
They just wanted some love. That's all. They just wanted.
But he didn't. You know, it doesn't indicate that he abused them. He doesn't indicate he molested them. He doesn't indicate all of the fun things that normally we have to talk about. So a little vomit never killed anyone.
I had a relative who would drink a lot, and he would sleep in the cars. You know, he'd sleep in old used cars, and he'd eat those sardines, man.
Oh, man.
And sardines. Mm. You know when he was drunk because he'd start calling you Jack? Like everyone was Jack. You know, like, and he would say shit like, your mom and dad ain't going to be around forever, Jack.
Jack.
At some point, you're going to have to be on your own, Jack. Meanwhile, I'm like 12 years old.
Was that Dickie Tingler?
Apartment or something, you know?
Was it Dickie Tingler that was telling you that?
That was my uncle. Jack.
No, Dickie Tingler was good to Timmy. He just had to buy his T-shirts and underwear and got a couple extra bucks. It was other people Dickie wasn't so good to, but
the ones he bashed in the head with the bowling ball.
Bowling ball.
No, I didn't know if he called Timmy Jack because he didn't know his name.
Yeah, it was my uncle. Jack. Your mom and dad's not going to be around forever, Jack. Like I'm 12 years old. What do you want me to do? Got in my own apartment.
And you said to him, joke's on you, motherfucker. My mom's going to live to be 93.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. But anyway, he used to eat those sardines, right? You couldn't, you know, you had to be like stand like 7 feet away from him because if you get too close, you get a whiff of those.
Oh, and you imagine those sardine farts, Timmy. They can't be pleasant.
So naturally, John wanted to get out of there. So he decided to join the army at age 15. His mother, the Christian woman that she was, provided written permission and a fake birth certificate. So John could go join the army. Now, John did complete high school ultimately, did not complete high school, I should say, but he served 3 years in the army and was based in West Germany. Apparently, he's setting high expectations, Colonel, with those West German broads. You know,
I was wondering if he was influenced because if you really want to get into crazy porn, to me, it's the German porn.
Yeah.
Because those people are above.
Well, Russian porn.
Russian porn's pretty extreme, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see, they have like Putin porn. So you got like, that's like Putin. Or Michelle
Gorbachev. Brezhnev booty.
Michelle Gorbachev with the spot on his head.
Well, how do you think he got that, Timmy?
Is that from John Holmes? Is that where
no, that was from that 70s Bush, Timmy. Somebody got a hold of the back of his head. Just rubbed too hard. You meant
someone splattered on
his head. Oh, my God.
Johnny, somebody got him with the yoga shooter.
Well, apparently John became well known in the Army for his large penis. His buddies often won bar bets with unsuspecting soldiers from other branches. I bet my buddy has the biggest, and my buddy's got the biggest dick you've ever seen.
Yeah.
When he returned to America, he moved to Southern California, where he pursued several career options. Before making his big break in porn, John Holmes worked as an ambulance driver, as a shoe salesman.
He was Ted Bundy.
Yeah. Al Bundy. Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy did a little bit different.
Not Ted Bundy, you dumb fuck.
Oh my God. Hold on, Timmy's done. Al
Bundy. You know, how'd you like to be at that Bundy family reunion?
Al, Peggy, Al Bud, Bundy, they're all there. Ted
Bundy. Uncle Ted. Uncle Ted coming in.
You know, Al Bundy scored a touchdown at 15.
That's at Polk High.
Yeah. Four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns in one game.
Yeah. A record that still stands.
Yeah. Yes, he was better than Uncle Rico.
Oh, God.
Uncle Rico could throw far, though. He could throw it over that mountaintop.
He'd throw a quarter mile.
Yep.
Jesus.
I wonder how John's home played air hockey, girl.
Or regular hockey, Timmy. Shit. That'd be a slap shot you wouldn't want to be around, Timmy.
Well, he was
also... You believe in miracles?
Oh, my God.
I was that pissed off. They forced Al Michaels to retire. The guy's been calling games for like 65 years. Yeah. All of a sudden, oh yeah, you're not exciting.
You're done now.
You're not exciting. Yeah.
Well, he was biting people.
Well, he was. They said he was too boring, but Jesus, I mean,
he was too what?
He's like 112. What do you expect?
Well, okay. So anyway,
his voice and have a stroke.
You know, that drives up ratings, though, when people have strokes on TV.
It does. Okay. If you're going to YouTube and look at people dying live on TV.
No, I haven't.
Because comedian, I swear to God, he's from Britain. Hey, Leanne, what was the name of the guy who died on TV? Who? Johnny Cooper, girl. Bring up Johnny Cooper on he's like a comedian.
Oh my God, why are you laughing?
Tommy Cooper.
Was he a weatherman?
He was a comedian, wasn't he, Leanne? Yeah. He was a magician.
He made himself disappear.
Okay, well, he also tried being a furniture salesman. And a door-to-door brush salesman. This is my favorite. He even tried stirring chocolate at the coffee nips factory. We lost him.
Seriously? Dad, please look up Tommy Cooper on YouTube.
I looked at
I'm not.
And I guess he's sitting down and all of a sudden he's just
like, yeah, he's standing.
And people in the audience are just laughing and clapping. I guess they thought it was part of the bit.
Oh, holy fuck. He was just like,
my God. You bunch of fucking ghouls.
No, it's the way he just sits down and then just leans back.
He felt funny.
It felt funny, all right. God.
He felt funny.
So
no, there was another guy. That, so like the day before yesterday, yeah. a Polish MP, so a member of the parliament, was railing against Israel. He takes two steps away from the dais, has a heart attack, and drops dead. So that shit happens more than you think it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that final getting... it's that final flip back to get you on Tommy Cooper.
Jesus.
Oh wow.
Poor you guy. Think we're all going to hell?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Should be a good time.
John Holmes. He was an ambulance driver, a shoe salesman, a furniture salesman, and door-to-door brush salesman, Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
You think he got the hammer out and, you know.
Oh, no. I like these brushes, but I don't have any money. What shall I do?
Oh, God.
Well, man.
Why do you make them all sound like, you know, a damsel in distress?
Well, you get hit with the Thor, you're going to be in a little bit of distress.
This is beforehand, though. You're walking around Brandy, like girl. People just show up.
This is Brandy, girl. But, oh, I'm going to fail economics class. What in the world will I ever do?
Oh, no.
I will what make them hate you.
Product? I'm not sure.
You kind of sound like Mr. Bill there, Colonel.
Yeah.
He always sounds like Mr. Bill when he tries to do a woman's voice. Always.
A wiener again. Well, it looks like I got to take a wiener again.
Before making his big break in porn, John Holmes.
Jesus Christ. Do not read this section again. Don't read it again. We've done it three times.
He was a furniture salesman, a shoe salesman, a brush salesman.
Did he even tried.
By chance?
He even tried.
He and Ted Bundy sold shoes, right? A
coffee nips factory, Colonel. Wonder what he stirred it with.
I want to know what a coffee nip is.
I think it was a store back in the 80s, like where you go and make your own coffee. Kind of like the Starbucks before his day.
I don't know that it is, but okay.
Yeah, I'm just making it up.
I know.
But anyway.
He also worked in a morgue.
Tommy Cooper.
Coffee nips are a candy.
Oh, yeah.
They're made by Brock's.
He stirred the chocolate to make the candy. Wonder what he stirred it with.
He also worked in a morgue, but nothing seemed to pan out.
This goddamn spoon ain't working.
Until he went to a poker parlor in Gardenia, California. As the story goes, Holmes went into the bathroom of the poker parlor where he met a professional photographer named Joel, who apparently suggested that he put his natural talents to good use.
Do you think Joel was doing like the panning with his fingers and shit?
You know, I'm just going to say, Joel, Timmy Thad, Joel broke protocol. There's no way he should have been seeing John Holmes' dick.
And not doing a little panning.
How could you not see it?
Well, because you stare straight ahead. You don't look sideways.
That's not a pop-up in your peripheral.
No.
No.
Even if it does, you don't comment on it.
You don't talk about
it. I think you would if it was, 13 and a half inches. You'd be like, holy fuck, dude.
You know, and what else is breaking protocol is when there's like 17 urinals empty. And
yeah,
comes
somebody
and
motherfucker next comes next to you.
That does break protocol. All right.
Do you think he was panning in Colonel like a camera? Like,
he's
trying to get the lighting right.
Somebody did that to me at Lowe's not too long ago. There's five urinals. I picked the one on the end. Old sumbitch comes in, comes right to the urinal next to me. And I'm just like, dude, what the fuck? You know the urinal rules. You know you got to be 70 years old. You know them by now. You keep a if possible. 70, I mean, in a Reds game, I know it's shoulder to shoulder. You do what you got to do.
Can help, right?
But at Lowe's, it's like no. There's a urinal gap. There's a reason for the empty. It's like the movie theater. You don't just come and plop yourself right next to somebody.
Right.
I pissed on his shoes.
There you go. You know, at the Renaissance Festival, at the Renaissance Festival that we like to go to, they don't even have individual urinals. They have the troughs.
Oh,
so
that's
you don't even get your own little space.
Wrigley Field is like that, too.
Ew. That's terrible.
Yeah,
and those things smell too. My God.
Oh, but they always had that little air freshener in it or toilet bowl cleaner in it. Like every guy pisses on, you know.
That little now I like where they got the little AstroTurf rubbery thing so don't get splashback. The little spiky things.
The smell reminded me of walking through New Orleans.
Oh.
Oh my God.
All right, ready? Devil, get on with the story.
I mean, you know, we've been at this thing forever. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Before long, John Holmes was doing pictorials and dancing in nightclubs, where he's making more cash than he ever dreamed possible. Meanwhile, his wife, Sharon, I didn't know he got married, had no idea and believed her husband to be an average working class citizen. Then one day, she walked in on John measuring his Johnson and dancing around giddy with glee.
That would be a sight.
You know, I'm going to say,
you definitely don't want to do that.
Man's ever going to admit it, but every man has measured his penis.
Yeah. Well, you know, Colonel, I use the closet door.
And yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
You got lines going across the door rather than up and down.
Yeah.
No, they're going up and down. All right.
And the secret is, if you want just a little bit extra, measure from the underneath, right?
There you go.
Like, right exactly where the... Extra. Yeah.
I measure at the trunk.
I measure from the back of my knee.
So that was when Holmes finally told his wife about his extracurricular activities.
I'm just picturing him, John Holmes, measuring his penis and then dancing around with glee. Yeah. Or giddy. Giddy,
yeah, because that thing, if you're going to measure it, you want to have it in a state of readiness.
You don't want a floppy.
And then I don't know with that monster, you want to be dancing around with it. You're breaking lamps and doing all kinds of shit. Just stay still.
Yeah.
Continue,
Brandy.
All right.
Was his wife displeased by this, Devil?
Hold on. I think I'm going to make it my life's work. He wanted to be the best at something, and he explained that he believed that porn was it. And considering his large endowment, John Holmes was convinced that he should become a star.
Well,
it was the 1970s when porn was starting to emerge in everyday life. Mainstream cinemas were showing erotic movies, and some porn stars were becoming as famous as other movie stars. Even household names like Johnny Carson and Bob Hope were making jokes about porn on air. When John Holmes explained his career goals to his wife, he was clearly excited and eager to get started. His wife, on the other hand, wasn't as enthused. She was a virgin when they met and had expected a conventional life with her husband.
I mean, how does that work? John Holmes and a virgin.
Yeah, and well,
guy headfirst into the porn industry.
Ow. Like, I guess it works slowly, Timmy.
Man. John Holmes' decision to dive headfirst in the porn industry was definitely something that was definitely not what she had in mind. You can't be uptight about this, John says. This means absolutely nothing to me. It's like being a carpenter. These are my tools. I use them to make a living. When I come home at night, the tools stay on the job. Well, that's reasonable, don't you think, Colonel?
I think that's, yeah.
In response, Sharon said, "You're having sex with other women. It's like being married to a hooker." this argument would continue for the next 15 years.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that was a point of contention.
Yeah, it was.
Throughout,
but it wasn't irreconcilable.
No, I mean,
well,
she stayed with him.
So throughout their tumultuous and eventually estranged marriage, but despite her displeasure with his career path, Sharon loved John Holmes and stayed with him until she just couldn't bear it anymore. Okay. For a while.
What do you think she couldn't bear anymore?
I mean,
because, you know, think about it. If he's going out, okay, let's just say he's a little bit freaky, right? She goes out and she could just tell him, hey, go do that freaky shit on the job. You know, when you come home, I just want some, you know, missionary stuff. Don't be trying to put that thing in other places. You can do that on the job.
Right. Okay. So, for a while, John tried to stick to his promise and keep his work life as a porn star separate from his home life.
Well, you got to keep those separate.
Yeah.
You do.
After he was done shooting for the day, Holmes worked as a handyman for his small apartment community in Glendale.
Oh, he's like, what's that guy on, what was that show with Valerie Bertinelli? Snyder. He's like Snyder. One day,
yeah. John.
Yeah, Snyder.
Okay. So he worked as a handyman while living in one of the 10 units that Sharon managed. John helped renovate the other apartments, collect junk, and spent his free time drawing and sculpting out of clay.
You know, Colonel, he said, he goes and knocks on the women's door and says, yeah, I understand your sink is clogged.
Right.
Okay.
Let me unclog. Hello? Hello?
You know, he did a movie with Linda Lovelace.
Okay.
Man, she had a rough, we should do cover her sometime. She had a weird life, too.
When he was on set, John Holmes became Johnny Wad, a detective who solved no crimes, but slept with everyone he came across during his investigations.
That's not true. Johnny Wad was, he was an ace detective.
While he mostly appeared with female performers, he was open to performing with males and did so in at least a few instances. While John Holmes tried to live a relatively simple life, Johnny Wad wore three-piece suits, ostentatious jewelry, and diamond belt buckles. He also earned up to $3,000 a day.
Not bad.
While Holmes tried to keep up his double life, it soon became his Johnny Wad lifestyle soon became too enticing and exciting to give up, and he began to overshadow his quieter lifestyle as a handyman and husband. Holmes' performances include at least one homosexual film, feature film, The Private Pleasures of John C. Holmes, which was filmed in 1983. In addition, he filmed a handful of scenes where he had the butt sex with men.
I think by 1983, he was really on the downward slide.
Yeah, he was on his downward trajectory. Yeah.
So in 1976, Timmy Holmes began to pursue Don Schiller.
Okay.
The girl who had moved into his home. Now, Sheila was just 15 years old, but that did not deter Holmes because he was a dirty old perv, Timmy.
Yes.
On the contrary, the 32-year-old liked that Sheila was so young because, as I said, he was a dirty old perv. And she didn't criticize him for his career like his wife because, well, she was 15 years old, Timmy. Now, before long, Holmes started calling her his girlfriend. Now, that puts Sheila in an extremely vulnerable position. Well, I think when you're dealing with somebody with a Thor, you're always going to be in a vulnerable position, but not only because Holmes was so much older than her, but because she started to develop a cocaine. He was developing a cocaine habit, Timmy.
Things are going to go downhill, I bet.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I don't know if you two have ever dealt with having a cocaine habit, but it's not the glamorous life they tell you about, Timmy.
It's not like Miami Vice.
It is. Yeah. Now, John eventually became so addicted to cocaine that it started to affect his work life. He'd show up and shoot strung out, and so high would render him unable to perform, Timmy.
Oh, they no. Didn't, He was hitting it with a floppy, Colonel.
He was trying to hit it with a floppy. They did not have the Viagra back in the day, Timmy.
No, they did not.
Despite once making thousands of dollars a day, Holmes found himself broke and craving drugs, Timmy.
That's sad.
Now, to get his hands on some cash, Holmes decided, and this is where it really takes an ugly turn, Timmy, to start prostituting Schiller to other men.
Yeah, that is an ugly turn.
He also brutally abused her, beating her into submission and intimidating her into getting him more money for cocaine. So this poor girl, she started to complain by then.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, she's too scared to leave, and she would do anything that he asked. She would make money, give it to him, and she was often forced to wait in the car while he bought drugs. Now, one fateful night, Schiller was waiting in the car while Holmes allegedly witnessed...
Well, I mean, you're not going to send her to get the drugs. You're not going to trust her that much.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Now, she was in the car that night, Timmy, when Holmes allegedly witnessed the Wonderland murders, which I believe we did a show about.
We did. It was called...
Four on the Floor, Timmy.
Four on the Floor.
Four people were bludgeoned to death in Los Angeles in retaliation for a drug robbery that Holmes and Eddie Nash, who was a cocaine trafficker, had masterminded. Now, Schiller remembered...
Doesn't Eddie Nash just sound like a drug dealer?
He sounds like an old-school, old-timey gangster.
Yeah.
We're going to get the cocaine, see? And you're going to show... Now, Schiller remembered later that she had been at the house, although she wasn't really involved in the murders at all. Holmes, however, claimed to see the entire thing go down. According to him, he was being held at gunpoint as the perpetrators bashed in the drug dealer's brains. He then fled to Sharon's house and confessed the entire thing. It wasn't until years later that Sharon would tell anyone of this confession. Now, the Wonderland murders, Timmy, began to mark the beginning of the end for John Holmes, which I think really probably having a 15-year-old girlfriend marked the beginning of the end.
I think the nose candy was probably the...
And then trafficking her?
Yeah, and trafficking her, but yeah. Now, Schiller and Sharon both left him, so he's all alone now. Now, imagine this. He's got a 15-year-old girlfriend living in his house with his wife. That
seems odd.
It's a peculiar marriage, I suppose. Well, he'd been charged. He ended up being charged with murder, Timmy. Though he was later acquitted, the trial and his cocaine put a damper on his film career. Soon, he was only making cameo appearances, Timmy, or as they call them in the porn thing, cameo appearances. In 1986, Holmes was diagnosed with, well, he got the HIV, Timmy.
He got the HIV.
He contracted the virus to his cavalier approach of making porn films, especially since he rarely used condoms. And Thad, you're in the medical field. If you're just a man having just straight sex with another woman, it's fairly difficult to, if you don't have an open wound on your pecker.
It is.
Very difficult to acquire the HIV.
Yeah.
So I believe John must have done much more.
Colonel, here's the thing. Do you really want to see a porn video where the dude is wearing a condom? I mean, it takes something away. I don't know.
Well, I think that's why porn left California for a while, Timmy, because California instituted a law.
They instituted a law, yep.
Yeah.
But then I think they retracted that law, didn't they, Dad?
I think they don't really do it anymore, so I guess they did.
But I think you have to be tested
every 90 days.
I was young and I needed the money. You have to be tested every 60 days. So... some wondered if he had contracted it from IV drug use. His loved ones reported that he was afraid of needles. Now, people will say that, but when you got a horrible drug habit, you ain't afraid of nothing.
No.
You will go down into the worst neighborhoods, talk to the worst So needles ain't going to scare you. You might not like them, but they ain't going to scare you. Now, it was later revealed that Holmes chose not to disclose the HIV before engaging in his final pornographic films. He did not use protection, and he exposed several performers to the virus, whoa, which caused quite an uproar.
Yeah, that's something you want to disclose.
Right. Now, he succumbed to AIDS-related complications, and if you've ever known anybody who's died of AIDS, that is an ugly fucking death, Timmy. On March 13th, 1988, at the age of 43, he had remarried shortly before his death, and he was alone with his new bride, Lori, when he passed. You know, that's a strange thing. I have always told people, you know, if I'm ever in the hospital and they tell the family, get to the hospital, I told them, don't come to the goddamn hospital. You don't need to, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to watch all that shit.
No.
You don't want their last memory of you being that.
Exactly. I've told you.
Your last memory being like Tommy Cooper.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, today with cell phones, next thing you know, it's a tender moment with the family, and then you're on TikTok. Oh, here's Grandpa going. You know, so
and anyway. They got little bunny ears on you.
Exactly. Snapchatting you all over.
You know what? Maybe that could be our next TikTok thing, guys. We could have each of our listeners do their Tommy Cooper impersonation and submit it to our TikTok.
No, channel. But you know what? Because Tommy takes quite a fall, and I don't want to assume any liability.
This is true.
You know, a lot of our listeners are not as limber as you would expect. Now, some of them are more limber than you would expect, but. You know, that's their business, and they can keep it to themselves. Well, despite his stormy life, Timmy,
Clark Trowbridge do the splits. I'm just saying that man. Yeah.
You know what? I believe Clark Trowbridge is not fully human, Thad.
I would agree with that.
He got bit by something radioactive when he was a little kid, because Clark just has superpowers.
I think it was a radioactive calf,
nuclear power plant or something.
Yeah. Water. Yep. So anyway, his stormy life and death, his death was quiet, but his story was never forgotten. John Holmes was to the adult film industry what Elvis Presley was to rock and roll.
You know, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Woo.
Yeah.
Girl, give us a little Elvis.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready now. Go, can't go, but don't you step on my 13-inch dick. Step on my 13-inch dick. Now, cinematographer Bob Vossi in the documentary The Wad, The Life of John C. Holmes.
That's not Bob Vossi who the choreographed.
Bob Vossi, Bob Fosse. Yeah, he often got he would get good tables at restaurants a lot of times. Yeah, yeah, just Bob Fosse. What was that, Fosse? Just give me a table for two. So, as it was his last wish, John Holmes asked his bride to do him a favor. He wanted me to view his body and make sure all the parts were there. He didn't want to be Rasputin where his dick ended up in a jar somewhere.
Colonel, we have to look out for each other there.
Well, we do. We do. I got a little RIF chip in mind. So he didn't want part of him ended up in a jar somewhere. I viewed his body naked, you know. And then I just watched him put the lid on the box and put it in the oven. We scattered his ashes over the ocean. Many people were unaware, but John Holmes did a lot of charity work before his death. Well, and by charity work, it was making women not pay for pizza or plumbing work. But no, he was involved with Greenpeace and was known to campaign and collect door to door for charities, save the whales and save the seals. However, because of his terrible drug habit, he never actually gave them the money, Timmy. So is basically the life and times of John Holmes, Timmy.
You know, not listed there, Colonel, was the Save the Penis Foundation.
Yeah, he started that, Timmy. You started that. But it's a sad tale, Timmy. You know, it's basically, he's basically a Horatio Alger type character, Timmy.
He is.
And then he turns into an Elvis type character.
Yeah.
So, and then he gets thrown in the oven. So I don't know what kind of, he's basically, what's that story? Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
So he goes from Horatio Alger to Elvis to Hansel and Gretel, Timmy.
Yeah, not you can't say that about too many people, Colonel.
No, it was quite a life. 14,000 women, Timmy. 14,000 women. How do you keep track of that?
Well, there's an app.
Is there? Because I can.
There's an app.
You know, and once you anything, it's like baseball cards, Timmy. Mm-hmm. If I have boxes and boxes and boxes of baseball cards. Right. If you ask me how many baseball cards I have, I'll say, oh, I don't know, 10, 15, because I only remember the really good ones.
Right.
You know, once you had the Mickey Mantle rookie card, you know.
So if they don't really register, you don't count them. Is that what you're saying?
Right. The Davey Lopes card, you don't even think about anymore.
So the 93 Todd Benzinger. Yeah,
you always remember that Mickey Mantle rookie card.
You know, and they have to be graded a certain way. And
mm-hmm.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on John the Hammer Holmes?
Well, Timmy, when you're endowed, Timmy. Mm-hmm.
When you're blessed like you and I.
Yes. There's a certain responsibility that comes with that. There's a certain code.
Knows much is given, much is required.
Much is required. And there's a code. Uh-huh. A code, Timmy, that you have to live by. And John broke the code. He just didn't follow the code, and it didn't turn out well for him. No, you can't just go out tossing that thing in anybody that walks by.
No.
You know, and, you know, I mean, my next door neighbor, Maria, she's a single woman, lives alone. You know what? I've fixed her plumbing and wiring and stuff for free a ton of times.
Right.
You know, so you don't always have to say, well, you don't have any money. Well, we're going to have to, you know. Mm-hmm. No.
You could just do it out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah, he could have been a little bit more charitable, Thad. That's all I'm saying.
But you know what? He gave to save the whales. So
he did.
I think raping and prostituting out of 15-year-old can be forgiven, right? I mean, he saved the whales.
I'm okay with saving the whales, but Colonel, really, do you need to save the seals?
No. You know, here's my rule in life, Timmy. Well, one of my rules of life: if you're slow enough and you're not, if somebody can beat you to death with a baseball bat, I mean, you got to kind of own that. That's your own fault.
You need to learn better defensive skills. Bouncing the ball on your nose.
Exactly. I mean, if I ever get beat to death by a baseball bat, I like to think that somebody caught me by surprise. Mm. But you make a good point, Thad. All his charity work, I don't believe that restored the karmic balance of John Holmes' life. You know?
Especially if he took the money to buy Coke.
Yeah, I'm here for Greenpeace. Then knock, be right back at the door. I'm here. Same people. I'm here for Save the Whales. Have you heard about the baby seals? I need money for them, too.
I'm here to save the ferrets.
Save the ferrets, yeah. Save the brown rats in New York. So,
well, Thad, what's your final thought on John Holmes?
I will tell you what. I kind of have this. I have an odd fascination with porn stars who either die or kill themselves, or I've kind of read a lot about them, and it's very sad. You know, I mean, you look at the porn and a bit of glamour.
Well, I think it's bad because he can't do porn anymore.
That's right, he can't do porn anymore. Right.
But do you know what the average real career span is for a porn star?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Sort of it's limited.
It's literally like a month.
Yeah.
There are so many women that get into porn and they make so much money in that first month, but then they make a couple films And people, it's basically kind of like music, you know, with YouTube, not YouTube, mm-hmm. but, you know, with Pornhub and everything else.
It lasts forever.
That people, well, it lasts forever, but people, you know, it's like bands, you know, they become popular on YouTube, mm-hmm. they become popular, but then next month it's another band, and so you can only do some, and, you know, this is something that I've noticed since the 70s. Now, every time you have a porn movie or whatever, the next person has to outdo it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you did butt stuff? Check this out. I'll take an entire foot. You know, I mean, it's like you always got to outdo it. You know what I mean? And it's become bizarre. But I really, like you, I don't find it so much fascinating as I find it.
Well, it's tragically fascinating. I
so many of the people you see, so many of the people, the Ginger Lynns, and especially now, who kind of go into mainstream, they become mainstream and they fully embrace who they were, you know, and say it was empowering. But for every one of those people, there are 1,000 young women who are just kind of destroyed by it.
Yeah.
So we only hear about the people who do well or do.
Well, you know, and, you know, like Thad was saying, a lot of times some people turn to it to make big money quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot, you know, there are a certain percentage that turn to it because they have, you know, they're a drug addict.
Mental health issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mental health issues. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing they forget is, like you said, it lasts forever. And, you know, all of a sudden one day your 10-year-old son, somebody's got their little cell phone saying, hey, this looks like your mom.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's no fun. That will fuck up Christmas for everybody.
That will. Nobody wants to be around for that. No.
Speaking of Christmas, and we're sorry that Brandy didn't pay her internet bill because she's gone.
Well, she's got it. The thing is, she bootlegs it. She sits her computer right next to the window to try to pick up the signal from her neighbor's router. You know, she is all, you know, she has to go over there. Now, your son Jason, what's his middle name? Or what's his birthday? And then she's typing in there like,
what's your dog's name?
Alexander. 0408, you know. Oh, god damn it, that didn't work. Let me hold on. So, you know, I mean, we're gonna lose it now and again. And I think I don't really mind it, Timmy. What I do not care for is the accusations thrown at me as being inconsistent to showing up to the show. I think we all know that is libelous, Timmy.
Well, you're above reproach.
Thank you, Timmy. Thank you. I just, now that that's on record, I feel better.
All right. We'd like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon and get this fine entertainment like you have just experienced today, go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Or just a wee little bit to me, just the tip if you need.
Hope that you all have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Well, Timmy, yes. More importantly,
yes,
we need to thank our sponsor.
Yes, our sponsor. Absolutely. Which is, Black Cat and Me on Etsy, blackcatandmeetsy.com, where you can find all of your home decor need.
Everyone, don't forget about historydweebs.org, where you can find all of those links in one place.
Yes.
And you can we have a YouTube channel now, and we have a TikTok.
And we do
TikTok channel.
I did not know that.
That is, we're on the Tiki Talk.
I didn't know we had a TikTok.
21st century, Colonel.
Are we History Dweebs on TikTok? Is that what we are?
We are History Dweebs on TikTok.
Yeah, I get a notification all the time.
We have dozens of followers, Colonel.
Dozens.
Yes.
Dozens.
Yes.
Maybe we need to do some TikTok porn and draw in more.
Yeah, we should. We probably should not do that.
Some only porn. Right.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
So this will be our last episode for 2023, and we just want to say, of course, thanks for listening. We appreciate all the support from each of you. Before we sign off, we want to say thank you to our Patreon sponsors one last time in 2023. A big thank you to Jason Dykes, Jeff and Dawn Chestnut, Sarah Bloom. Thank you all for being Patreon supporters. Ben Dubrovich, Jennifer Sabota, Michelle Johns, Erica Kenny, thank you for your support. Laura O'Reilly, Shirley Strapp, Anonymous, Todd Long, thank you each for supporting the show. Amber Anderson, Jamie Dent, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Marianne Knight, Jess, Anna Kaufman, thank you all for supporting the History Dweebs podcast. Danielle Townsend, Jennifer Orchid, The Already Gone Podcast, Buffy Sykes, Emily Tarkov, thank you for supporting the show. Gina Green, Sue Van Hook, Alan Cox, The Canadian True Crime Podcast, thank you all for supporting the show. The Rants and Reason Podcast, Liz Lawrence, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Hiro, thank you all for supporting the History Dweebs Podcast, Carl Asplund, Guy Savage, Christina Harmeyer, thank you all for supporting the show, Wool Hat, and of course our girl next door, Shelley. Thank you all for supporting the show through Patreon. If you are interested in contributing, the Patreon is $5 a month. You can actually find that link on our website, historydweebs.org, and of course, as we mentioned earlier, the link to our show sponsor, Black Cat and Me. Of course, you can find links to our YouTube page, links to our TikTok page, and each of our places that you can find our podcast. So thank you again for listening in 2023. We look forward to bringing you entertaining stories in 2024. Happy holidays, folks.
The fuck's wrong with you today? I haven't even climbed in your shit. The fuck? You called me, why'd you call me earlier, dummy? Why are you calling names like some kind of schoolyard bully, you bitch?
I'm the Lou Gehrig of podcasting. I'm here every goddamn week.
If you go to YouTube and look at people dying live on TV.
Why did you tie a ribbon around your dick?
It's assault with a friendly weapon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.